2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck with over $7,250 below MSRP with the current Chevy trade. Or get a 2024 Silverado 1500 Custom Crew Cab 4x4 for only $449 per month, 36-month, 36,000-mile lease with $5,000 trade equity or cash. And we're offering top dollar for your quality trade-in. You'll get our best deal every day at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us today or visit us 24/7 at longvineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
KVOA News Time 8:31. It is Newsmaker 2 time today. Roger Heineken joining us as we talk about Red Rock State Historic Site and specifically 2 decades of being open to the public.
Roger, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Enjoying the weather.
I would imagine so. Mid-60s in February is always good, right?
That's right.
Well, we're glad to have you in here, Roger, because really a big anniversary that's going to be celebrated here this upcoming weekend when it comes to Red Rocks.
That's right. It's 2025, and it's the 20th year that the site's been open to the public. So each year we try to do a program around William Allen White's birthday, which is actually February 10th. So on Sunday the 9th, we're doing a program that focuses on what goes into developing a property of historic merit to become an actual state historic site. And Patrick Zollner, who's the executive director of the Kansas Historical Society, is going to present that program to kind of go through the behind-the-scenes work that his staff does to prepare a site to open. And so I know that he will include a lot of details about how Red Rocks evolved to become a site open to the public.
So how did that start? Do we go to the Kansas State Historic Site? If we have a property here, Roger, how does it work from the beginning?
Well, William Allen White bought Red Rocks in 1901. And so after Catherine White died, Barbara maintained the property for many years. Excuse me. And eventually, at the 100th year anniversary, decided to give it to the state. So it went into the state's portfolio of properties, and the legislature accepted it in 2001. And then it took about a four-year process to secure funding, make it ADA compliant, do all the research behind the site to help interpret it, and then it opened in May of 2005. So it was a long process, but and I understand that there are two properties that may come into the state portfolio in the near future. So I suspect Patrick will talk a little bit about that and that process. I don't fully understand it, but I'm hoping to learn more at this program.
I was going to ask, Roger, if you had any information as to what local organizers had to provide as far as information, documentation, things as simple as renovations or even things right down to maybe dish purchases or anything like that that would maybe document and bolster the application process here for Red Rocks.
Well, I think a lot of that was started with Barbara when she was turning the property over. Now, remember, unlike many historic sites around the state, there's a whole archive of William Allen White papers in the library on campus. And so that probably was a nucleus of the research that went behind authenticating its value as a state historic site. And again, I came on board to support Red Rocks in 2004, right before it opened, so I don't know a lot that went on before. Now, interesting for our site is that we don't receive tax dollars to support the site. And so several years before the site opened, the William Allen White Community Partnership of local leadership was formed to help raise funds to join with the state foundation to provide private dollars to help operate the site. And so we've been in operation longer than the 20 years, the William Allen White Partnership. And so, again, Carolyn Kuhn and Jim Lowther and a whole bunch of Lloyd Stone, I think, was involved for a while. A lot of our local leaders that helped usher it in back then. And, of course, I'm proud that they did that.
Although I have to ask, why in the world is Red Rocks the only one that doesn't get state funding? It's been like that from the get-go. Why is it that, well, why is it that just is not set up like that?
I believe, and again, I came on board after 2001, but I believe that the state's budget was kind of sketchy back in those days. And I think that the only way to get the state to accept it, if it was not a drain on the tax dollars. And of course, we'd like to see that change because there's a disproportional support of the site that comes from Lyon County and beyond for a state site that anyone in the world can come and see.
Yeah.
And of course, that's why we do the pre-program series, to try to pay back the generosity of our local citizens to, you know, make them have a sense of ownership and pride, and also learn more about the nuanced story of William Allen White, William Lindsay White, and the family.
So how is funding going, Roger?
Well, you know, in recent years, we've been a part of Match Day.
Yeah.
And the Community Foundation Match Day, and that's been a real blessing. Prior to that, we used to throw galas and, you know, a meal and a movie, and, you know, we premiere, or we had a screening of the Mary White movie at the Granada. And but whenever we do those kind of events, there's always a cost factor that, you know, reduces the amount of money we generate. And so Match Day has been a real boon to help us run annual dollars. And so I think we put about $14,000 to the state each year, to couple with money in the foundation that supports the historic site in Topeka. But it's not a line item, tax budgetary item.
Roger Heineken again joining us here today. He calls himself a storyteller, but he's also been vitally involved here in Red Rock State Historic Site, and he's really been our de facto spokesperson for different activities. Sundays at the site is really one of the activities that Roger's been really highly and heavily involved in generating here and developing over the last 20 years. And I wanted to ask you, Roger, about really what you've learned here about local history and the connections that have in some ways been really rooted in Red Rock State Historic Site and its history over the last 20 years that you've been involved.
Well, it seems like every year I learn something new about Emporia and William Allen White. So it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. And, it, you know, once you learn this tidbit and that element, and all of that starts to mesh together to make a kind of cohesive narrative and understanding of where we are. And, of course, William Allen White came to town at 27 to take over the Gazette, and it came with a genuine belief that he had to be a booster of Emporia, because the economic success of the town would mean that businesses could buy ads and citizens could subscribe. And so there's a symbiotic relationship, I think, with the small town newspaper editor in the city everywhere. And a lot of the newspapers that failed were because the editors of those other papers didn't have that same understanding of how they relate. So there's, you know, there's just something every day. A few years ago, I learned that there's a theory that William Allen White may have inspired the Perry White character in the Superman.
Story.
So, and you know, during the 40s, the radio serials had the Superman fighting the Clan of the Fiery Cross. So the Daily Planet was crusading against this hate group back then. So anyway, there's one thing that I want a lot of Chiefs fans to know. This is Super Bowl Sunday that we're having this on the 9th at 2 p.m., but it'll be an hour program before the Super Bowl at 5:30. So
plenty of time.
You can do both.
Yeah,
there you go, and you should do both.
That's right.
There we go.
And I would say that we are holding this program, unlike our regular series, in the William Allen White Memorial Library at ESU.
Okay.
And so there's ample parking, and the weekend the parking's not monitored. You can enter the parking lots near the library from Merchant Street. And then we're holding it in the lobby, or what they call the Learning Commons, on the first floor. So we invite a lot of Chiefs fans to show up, too. And you can put the crock pot on and come to the program. And then
I think that's a phenomenal idea. All right, Roger, really appreciate your time with us here this morning. And hope you have a good turnout, even though it is Super Bowl Sunday. And really let us know here what's going to be taking place here later on in the year at Red Rocks. I know that you have always a great list of informative programs that sets up later in the year. So looking forward to having you on to talk about those in more detail as well.
Okay, I don't know if we lost must have lost Roger there. Appreciate Roger being with us here this morning and giving us an update, some insight into the ESU Special Collections and Archives and the William Allen White Community Partnership to celebrate William Allen White's 157th birthday and the 20th anniversary of the Red Rock State Historic Site. And this will be at the William Allen White Memorial Library at Emporia State.
Yep.
And, Sunday at 2.
Yeah, looking forward to that. That's going to be a good one to cover for us. And also wanted to let you know here in just a second, once we get through our headline segments with national, international, and local headlines to come, we'll have Brian Stevens joining us with the Veterans Affairs of Eastern Kansas. We're talking more again about online login systems and some deadline extensions to get veterans involved in that online process. So that's coming up here shortly on KVOE.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you by Longbine Auto Plaza, driven by longbineauto.com. It is 8:43, 42 degrees. Now the headlines from ABC.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Elon Musk now has access to the federal government's funding agencies. ABC's Christiane Cordero explains.
Sources confirming that Elon Musk has been given access to the U.S. Treasury Department's vast payment system. The move essentially puts the government's multi-trillion dollar checkbook in the hands of the world's richest man. And his message about wasteful government spending has been clear.
Your money is being wasted, and the Department of Government Efficiency is going to fix that.
The official who oversaw the federal payment system has been placed on administrative leave after he resisted giving Musk and DOGE officials access to the system.
Staffers at USAID were instructed to stay out of that agency's Washington headquarters after Musk announced that President Trump had agreed with him to shut down the agency. The tariffs against Mexico, Canada, and China will go into effect first thing tomorrow. Ontario Premier Doug Ford announcing he's ripping up a contract with Elon Musk's Starlink Internet services. This is ABC News.
Some things are just better together, like flowers and chocolate. But what's better than that? Diamonds and her, of course. Stop in at Carrie's Diamonds to find the perfect pendant and bracelet to match. Or maybe a pair of diamond stud earrings. Classic pairs like his and hers custom engraved bracelets are always a great way to show your love. So this year, give her the best gift ever with a gift of jewelry from Carrie's Diamonds. 1015 Industrial.